Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, enlighten our hearts and minds. This is your word, and I just pray that you help me to be able to articulate well the truths that we read here and can grasp, truths that would get into our hearts, get into our minds, and do their transforming work, that we might be more like you, Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is like a pastor's dream scripture, to be able to preach on this one. This is wonderful. These are one of those texts where you just get psyched to be able to preach on. So you got the disciples and Jesus, and it has been a long day. This was the day where they had Jesus had done this amazing miracle, feeding 5,000 men in addition to all the women and children. How many is that? 15,000 people, something like that. And the disciples have been really acting like deacons and, you know, handing out food and taking care of this. It's a long day. And so Jesus is going to dismiss the crowds. He sends the disciples ahead in a boat. They get out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray. Well, it says that it's in the fourth watch of the night. Well, that's between 3 and 6 a.m. I'm thinking, wow. I mean, after a long day, and now they've been rowing. I mean, this is not a speedboat, y'all. I mean, they've been rowing, and in John's version, it says that they were rowing for about 3 to 3.5 miles. That's a lot of rowing, and especially when the wind is now, you know, the waves are buffeted against you because the wind's going against you. These guys got to be tired. And starting to feel a little bit desperate here. You know, Jesus from the mountainside, he knows what's going on. So here he comes to them, walking on the water. And they see him, and they're freaking out. They think it's a ghost, you know. And he calls out to them, says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." So then there's this wonderful request by Peter. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come walk to you." And it's this wonderful request of faith. I want to step out in faith, Jesus. I want to do what you're doing. I just love this. And I think Jesus must have been tickled by this request, pleased by it. Peter gets out and he's walking on water. But all of a sudden, he gets distracted by the wind and the waves and all of a sudden becomes afraid. His eyes are turned from Jesus and he starts to sink. And he cries out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord." Jesus reaches out his hand and saves him. And he says, "You have little faith." And here's the deal. I really don't. You know, that's the problem with the written word, is oftentimes we don't get the tone of things. I mean, you know, you could read Jesus' words, let me get them and repeat them exactly, with, you know, and what was Jesus' tone, you'd have to ask. "Ah, you of little faith. Why did you doubt?" You think Jesus was saying that? No. I think it was with almost a giggle. "You of little faith. Why did you doubt?" Right? You know, I keep talking about how our perspective of God and our image of God is everything. You know, and in our failures, in our stumblings, when our faith gets shaky and our eyes get off Jesus and all of a sudden we're sinking down and we cry out to Him, you know, too many people, I think, have this idea that God is standing there with arms folded, frowning. "Where's your faith? Doubting again?" No. I think, especially when we're willing to get out of the boat, take these steps of faith, I think when, yeah, we have a little bit of trouble, we find ourselves struggling, I think it's the same response as what Peter heard from Jesus. "You of little faith. Why did you doubt?" And then grabs him by the hand, helps him into the boat, and everybody is just in awe. They're in awe is God. So that's the context. Now, how do we contextualize this? How do we bring this home to our homes, our hearts? First thing I wanted to point out is just to believe in Jesus' awesome power. There is nothing, nothing that He cannot do. He is God, and He is Lord over everything. And what did He say to the apostles as He was getting ready to depart? End of Matthew. Remember the Great Commission? He starts out by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He has awesome power. He has authority over the heavens, angels, over every dominion on the earth, and even under the earth. In other words, even, and we saw this time and time again, the demons shrieked when He came around. They knew He had authority. He has this awesome power. Believe in this awesome power. And the importance is in the object of our faith. We believe in Jesus. Because you can have faith. You can have a lot of faith. But it's the object of your faith that matters. You didn't hear Peter or read Peter saying, "Oh, that's really cool. He's walking on water. Hey, check this out, guys. I can do that too. Check this out. Watch." What do you think would have happened if all of his faith had been on himself? No. The object of your faith cannot be on you or anything, any other God, any other deity, any other being. It's on Jesus. The object of your faith is all important. It was in Christ. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you. All right, come. So his focus, his faith was on Jesus, and that's where our faith needs to be. The other thing is the potential impact of that faith. If we have faith in Jesus and we understand how awesome He is and His power, there is nothing that He can't do. And Jesus actually says, "You will have authority. In My name," again, object of faith, "you will be able to move mountains. Even the things you've seen Me done," Jesus said, "you'll be able to do greater things than these." Serious? Serious. Wow. All right. If our eyes stay on Him. Second thing I want to point out then is we need to exercise that faith. What good is the faith if you don't do anything with it, right? I mean, it's like having these amazing superhuman powers and never doing anything. You know? You got to step out of the boat. I mean, you got to give Peter credit. And oftentimes, kind of, he's been slammed for, you know, sinking down and getting his eyes off Jesus. But he was the only one willing to get out of the boat and try, right? That's what I love about Peter. I mean, he was the guy always, you know, sticking his foot in the mouth and doing rash things and cutting off the ear of the high priest. "I'm willing to fight for you, Jesus." And "put away your sword." You know, he's always getting himself into trouble, but he's also always the one to be the first to step out there. I got to wonder if that's why among all the disciples, Jesus said, "You are Peter. You are the rock, and on that rock I will establish My church." See, Jesus loves that kind of faith, the kind of faith that says, "Jesus, can I step out of the boat?" So we need to have the faith, but then we need to exercise the faith. We also need to step out of the boat. Now, three things I would point out about that. Number one, it's stepping out of our comfort zones. And so oftentimes, you know, and even biblically, I cited some other texts there, but, you know, Jesus and God, they're always messing with our minds. They really are. You can see that in the Bible. You know, when Jesus wants Peter to go to Cornelius' house, he's a Gentile. A good Jew's not going to go do that. And so there's this vision that comes down, and in the vision, it's all these forbidden animals that a Jew should not eat. And yet the voice from heaven says, "Get up, kill and eat." What? You know, and basically, Peter understands way later that, oh, What he's saying is, he's telling me that things that once were forbidden for a Jew now aren't, and so I should go to minister at the house of this Gentile, but always moving out of the comfort zones. So oftentimes, for us to step out of the boat, maybe it does mean doing something in the area of missions. Like Juanita, she's going to go to Colombia. That can be a dangerous place, you know? Yeah. And see, this is not a foreign thing for this congregation. We got a history of people going to Mexico. We just had 3 girls a few weeks back get back from a trip to Africa with one of our former pastors. And, you know, so I don't have to teach you all very much about this. But we need to continue to step out of our comfort zones. And maybe it doesn't mean going to missions, but maybe just down the road it means crossing over the railroad tracks, stepping out of our comfort zone in an area of different economic makeup or different racial makeup or, I don't know. You got to ask yourself that question. Could Jesus be asking me to get out of my boat and get out of my comfort zone? Second question would be, is he asking me to get outside of my area of expertise or my area of strengths? Again, God did that all the time. So you find, for example, Moses saying, who am I? You don't want to send me. Don't you know I'm terrible at public speaking? No, you got the wrong guy. Or Gideon saying, me? Wait a second. I'm from the weakest. My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You got the wrong guy. Saul did the same thing, said the same thing. You got the wrong guy. This isn't my area of expertise. This is not my strength. And God said, exactly. And so the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill this mission is by dependence upon me. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2, he puts it very clearly. He says, it is God's will that he wants to choose the weak things, the things that aren't well known, the things that supposedly aren't the people that aren't supposedly wise, to shame those who say they're wise and to shame those who think they're so powerful. And then at the end of the day, everybody will say, that was God. Exactly, the glory goes to him. And so oftentimes he'll ask us to step out of the boat, stepping out of our area of strengths or expertise, so that we would be in complete dependence upon God if this mission is going to get done. Likewise, he'll ask us to step outside of our area of control. In other words, we might find ourselves saying, God, that is humanly impossible. Exactly. What, Sarah, at my age? What? A baby? That is not even humanly possible. Exactly. So that at the end of the day, it's God that gets all the credit. But he loves doing this. He loves doing amazing, even miraculous things through the least likely of people. So none of us should say, I'm too old for that, or that is so not me, or not humanly possible. It is all, and all things are possible through Christ who gives us strength. Next point I want to make, contextualizing this, how do we bring this story into our lives? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have got to keep our focus on him if we are going to do any kind of mission for him, the things that would be impossible. Our eyes have to be on him. When Peter's eyes went off Jesus and he got distracted, and what happened then? Got to be afraid, and fear began to sink in and sink him. And that's what happens when we get our eyes off Jesus. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? It gets back to our devotional practices. We've got to be in the Word. And clearly it says in the Word, time and time again, it is a day and night process of meditating on the Word. Day and night. And the cool thing is, Psalm 1 just says, for those who do meditate on God's Word day and night, they flourish. Their lives flourish. And when God gave Joshua that task of taking over for Moses, he said, this is the deal. You've got to be meditating on this word day and night if you're going to lead this ragamuffin band. So likewise, we need to meditate. And what does it mean to meditate on the word? It's not just a peripheral reading. Yeah, did my checklist. It is meditating. It is reflecting. It is absorbing the word and processing it. How do I then live this word out? I don't want to just be a hearer of the word and so deceive myself. I want to live it out, God. That's the kind of thing, to meditate on the word day and night. That's what keeps our eyes on Jesus. And then through prayer, it's a constancy. Being constant in prayer. Praying without ceasing. How do you do that? Praying without ceasing. Obviously, you got to do it with your eyes open, but it's creating a dialogue, just a running dialogue with God throughout your day. And it's a dialogue, please, not a monologue. It's not me just talking, me talking, God do this, God do this, God do this, I wish you'd do this, I wish you'd do this. It's a dialogue, it's listening too. In fact, our goal should be more listening than talking when it comes to our prayer life. But it's this dialogue, a constant dialogue with God. That's what it means that we would be praying without ceasing, as the Word tells us to do. If we can do that, we can keep our focus on God, our eyes fixed on Jesus. One of the beautiful things is those fears won't invade us. They won't paralyze us, as is our tendency when our eyes are off Jesus, just like Peter. That's when the anxieties start to just overwhelm us. But boom, you get your eyes on Jesus. And all of a sudden, you find that faith in Him. He is the object of the faith. And so, it is about a disciplined heart and mind. And it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. We need to be steadfast. The Scripture tells us to be steadfast. Steadfast. Standing firm. Standing firm. Don't give in to the fears. Don't give in to the anxieties. Don't give in to the deceptions. Don't give in to the lies. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. And then the result is worshiping Him. When Jesus got back in that boat, you didn't see them all rushing up to Peter. Hey, that was really cool. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. You did it. Yeah, that was really... Yeah. You started to sink, but yeah, anyway. Yeah. No. Their focus wasn't on Peter. Their focus was on Jesus, and they were in awe. They were just awestruck, and it says, out of that awe, they worshiped Him. And here's the deal. When your eyes are on Jesus, He being the object of your faith, and you see, and you come to understand and believe deeply in your heart in His awesome power, His sovereignty over everything, His goodness, His love, His amazing love and mercy and grace. He is full of truth and grace. And you have this true image of God, of Jesus. And if your faith is in Him and you begin to trust in Him and your eyes stay focused on Him, you will see miracles. And God will channel those miracles in and through you. And the response will be awe. And you will worship Him. You will worship Him for His power. And you will worship Him for His goodness. May it be. May it be. Jesus, please get that faith into our hearts, deep into our hearts and souls, God. Help us to believe, truly believe, and then in belief put our trust in You for everything. The little things and the big things. Those daily tasks, but also the big issues in our lives. Please just may that faith then wipe out the anxieties and fears that can plague us. And help us, Lord God, to keep our eyes on You. We are so much like Peter. so many times when our eyes get diverted from you, we do sink. Help us, God. And when we get tripped up, may your mercy be there. And may we hear in our hearts, that's the response. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Come on, take my hand and I'll help you out. May it be that, God. And then, God, please, do miracles. Do miracles in our lives, in and through us, and use us, God, to be channels of your mercy, channels of your grace and love. There are so many people all around us that need that mercy and love. Help us to be your ambassadors. And then in awe, we will glorify you. In Jesus' name.